Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Buzzing. A busy day yesterday, coming back from England, and even had a meeting with Kenny Moncouth, who's now fairly big in soccer charities. And Kenny, although a Dutchman, lives happily in Wakefield. Good to meet an ex-professional footballer who talk economic sense and his business plans at the age of about 50. Very pleased for him. Very impressed. So you don't have to be a bus driver or a taxi driver, or as so many of the old Chelsea players have become. There are higher and lofty ambitions available if you put your mind to it.
We're talking about busy weeks. It's been another busy week back at Leeds United with, first the big news, Adam Pearson back as Leeds United's executive director this time round, a former commercial director at the club. What are your thoughts on the appointment, KB?
Well, Adam Pearson, I didn't know very well. I met him once or twice in his whole days because he left a few years before I arrived. But the thing is, he is a business-orientated football man. He did a very good job at Hull, did a very good job at Derby. And if you think about it, since my departure, he's the first real businessman who knows great experience of football that's been brought into the club. And GFH was a total disaster. And Massimo Cellino inherited so many bloody problems, and of course with David Hay being arrested, there was no man to provide a link or continuity. And Andrew Umbers has done his best, but he has no experience of administering a football club, and I think his forte has been managing investments, which isn't quite the same thing as running a business, particularly a complicated business like football. I mean, if you run an ordinary business, you report to your customers, and you report to your shareholders twice a year. And if you're running a football club, you report into your customers on a daily basis, and under a great deal of pressure. And everything is very labour intensive. So it's quite a difficult job to do, and I think that Adam Pearson will be a very helpful addition to the Leeds United Ellen Road infrastructure, and providing Massimo listen to him and takes his advice when he asks for it, I think that Leeds could start recuperating from the disasters of the last 3 years.
I suppose one of the things that he'll be looking at, and certainly after we've spoken to Adam Pearson yesterday, is a number of the young players at Leeds United and keeping hold of the crown jewels, as they're called. They've managed to do that with one of the young players, Lewis Cook, who signed a new 2-year contract. I suppose that hopefully is the first of the rest of them signing on.
It is, but they need to move quickly and get them signed on. Well, they started going on holidays and thinking about things, being approached, having various agents. Agents don't make much money if players sign new contracts. They make money when players move clubs. That's the curse, biggest curse of the game today. And I think some of those kids should have been signed up some months ago, but with the turmoil about the manager, I can understand. Massimo officially not being around, I can understand anything being put on hold, but that is really the priority now, plus of course sorting out the management situation. You can't sign players without a manager, because otherwise the first thing a manager does when he's appointed, looks at what you've signed, says, "I don't like them," he'll take responsibility for them. So it's still, urgent times.
Obviously some great news that that Lewis Cook has signed on there, and they've kept hold of well, one of the brightest young prospects that, that Leeds United have produced.
It's good, but there are others as well. So we've got to move on. Can't sit in our laurels and we've got Lewis. We've got to keep cracking away and getting all the others that need to get signed up. No doubt the advice of Neil Redfern will be vital there, because he knows them and understands not just their ability, playing abilities, but their character is just important these days. And you actually look, I've actually been thinking about it for the last couple of weeks, and this season I can't recall having ever seen so many talented players, as far as football is concerned, but troubled personalities in one form or the other in the Premiership. I gather that there's one player, I was reading about him this morning, but I can't remember his name now, he's on his way out. He declined to get off the subs bench on two occasions for the same match. I'm afraid he'd have been that particular manager. He'd been out of the bath and making his own way home by bus and hitchhiking. But there you are. No point in having talent if you can't get the feet money around it, can you?
Moving on to some other business, KB. And a week after the election, and the Tory government have been in place for, just a week now. What have been your thoughts on the first 7 days?
Well, I thought the first interesting thing following the post-election, which is far better, as far as I'm concerned, and for the people Britain are concerned that they've ever dreamed of, been the reaction of all the other parties, of all three leaders of the Labour Party, Liberal Party and UKIP have all resigned. Apparently Nigel Farage did a miraculous Easter performance, rising from the dead after 3 days. It's interesting that if you remember Clegg, remember his famous saying 2 months ago that he didn't care who won the election as long as he was Deputy Prime Minister until 2020. Well, that fatuous, self-centred remark is out the window. Hopefully he's gone back to the anonymity which he came from. Then we had Alex Salmond boasting that he will be writing the Labour Party budget for Balls. Well, I suppose you could say there was all Balls, because Mr. Balls is gone, and Mr. Salmond will have to keep his tongue between his teeth a little more. Then we had Nicola Sturgeon, who's laying down the conditions for supporting a Labour minority government, what she wanted and what she didn't want, and this and that and the other. Well, she'll have to moderate her tone now, because the Tories have got an overall majority. They've got 5 years to complete the work they started with the help of the Lib Dems in the last coalition government. I think it's important, I've always been interested in politics, and it was important, you should have your policies ready before you go in, before you win the election. The moment you win it, you start implementing the laws, not letting civil servants drag the things back. Then get all the unpopular measures through the first 6 months, and then that gives 4.5 years to see them mature and see the benefits coming through. That's very important. And I'm afraid people have to be told, should be told, what they need to hear rather than what they want to hear. There's a letter in the Times, in the Mail this morning, that says, and quite rightly says, you know, that Cameron's opening statement about the blue-collar working classes, or blue-collar workers, great. She says, what about the 11 million pensioners who, when they worked, helped the country to be great? And they mustn't be forgotten. But I like Theresa May's attitude. No, we're not going to take immigrant quotas. All that happens is these evil who prey on these unfortunate people in Horn of Africa. They should be taken back. We should be sending, EU should be sending a task force in to kill those people, not allow them to make these huge profits out of these poor wretches. We cannot look after the world. We're not big enough, we're not rich enough. And it should be, and all the aid that's being poured into these distressed areas should be making sure they're actually going to the people that need them, rather than, in many cases, the corrupt dictators who run those countries. Yes, we should start getting our, some of our laws back from the EC, EU. Due to the Human Rights Act, which is a disgrace, we promised our own Human Rights Act, right, let's get that in. Do you know, we've been, under human rights, we've been giving legal aid to people in Iraq, suing us for what we did 13 years? It's madness. Madness. All this should be swept away. And, of course, it's about time the BBC got its comeuppance and looks who it's going to. They've got the BBC Trust, which is supposed to supervise the BBC. Absolutely useless. Highly paid. Very little. I thought that the BBC was hopelessly biased, anti-Tory. Everything they ran, anti-Tory, anti-UKIP. They're not independent at all. And they're already moaning about the licence fee. Well, I agree. The general thinking, it should be abolished. It's not a question of money you raise. It's also a question of how much money does it cost to raise it? Only 150,000 people a year are prosecuted for not paying their TV licence. Now, when we moan about the courts being clogged up, well, 150,000 a year being prosecuted criminally for 145 quid. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. If we do maintain licences, then they should collect the money in the same way that the electricity board, the electricity company, the water company collect it. Cut off the signal and send round the bailiffs. But better still, abolish all those vans. How much money the BBC waste on sending these spy vans around, maintaining these huge computers to find out whether you've paid, whether you haven't paid. And apparently the government pays the BBC 200 million a year, more than that, I think 400 million a year, for the free TV licences for pensioners. It should be simplified. There should be a penny on the council rates or something small, which will give the government, give the BBC their income. Then Francis Maude, who done a magnificent job in the last government, slashing civil service waste, should be put in to sort out the BBC, because they won't sort themselves out. And stop paying these ridiculous fees and salaries to performers and administrators. This old saying that if you don't pay the best, you won't get the best. Well, are the British people getting the best? I don't think so. I mean, what do we pay Russell Brand, for example? What do we pay that other fellow whose name escapes at the moment, who rang up Fawlty Towers guy about his granddaughter? How were they ever, Jonathan Ross, how were they ever allowed back on BBC? And have you know, and they're covering, the BBC covers the general election. Oh, OTT, they were both made, how many cameras they got and this and that and the other. Well, did they give us any more information? Well, I think the only thing they got right was the exit poll that said the Tories were going to win. The fact the Tories knew that anyway. Anyway, I've been doing a bit rambling, But the thing is, I think this is a great chance. It's going to happen. It's a great chance to get this country back on track, live within our means, stop wasting money, because it's your money. It's you people who live in England, pay their rates and pay their taxes through their VAT. It's your money being wasted, not their money, as people say, as politicians seem to think. It's your money. If they say you want better standard of living, well, just think about it. If you weren't paying so much in taxation, you'd have more money to spend to do what you want. So, thing is, devolution, they're going to give more powers to Manchester. Great. They say they're going to give more powers to Yorkshire. Yorkshire's got a bigger population than Scotland, or Northern Ireland, or Wales. We don't need someone like Nicola Sturgeon performing as she is, or has been. We might find after the initial flush of pseudo-success that she gets back into her box. But what a great chance for Yorkshire. Need a regional government, better accountability. ACPO has been swept away, which is great as far as people are concerned, running the police forces, because so many chief police officers took the advice of ACPO, which is the Association of Chief Police, even though they had no legal standing, no rights, but there were almost unwritten laws. It's a great chance to have a clean sweep, and all the civil servants, local and central, are going to get rid of, or hopefully they're going to get rid of. Well, they can get the jobs in the private sector, because Tories said they're going to create 3 million new jobs. Great. Great. Let's look to the future and keep an eye on them. And let's also keep an eye on Ellen Road. Keep those season ticket renewals rolling in.
Once again, KB, thanks very much for your time this week, and we'll catch up with you again at the same time next week.
See you later. Bye-bye.